Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
No, I won't be voting for Kevin McCarthy tomorrow. He's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution. I'll be following the will of my constituents, the voters of Virginia's 5th District, who hundreds of which have told me over the past couple of years not to support Kevin McCarthy.
Yes. That is, of course, Congressman Bob Good of Virginia. Tell you about, why he doesn't want to vote for Kevin McCarthy for a Speaker of the House. And who knows what's going to happen since it's in the future and everything. But the Democrats and the media, I repeat myself, are hoping for a great deal of chaos in the Republican ranks tomorrow when they take control of the House of Representatives. Task one is to elect a Speaker of the House. And there are some Republicans in the House that are currently refusing to vote for Kevin McCarthy for Speaker. It could get interesting, but probably not as interesting as it got between the anti-slavery Republicans and the pro-slavery Democrats in 1856, when it took 2 months and 133 votes, with Democrat House members being violent on multiple occasions. The more things change, the more they stay the same, you know. And remarkable things here in Washington, D.C. But it's true that tomorrow the Republicans will take control of the House of Representatives when the new members, the newly elected members of Congress, are sworn in. And the Republicans will have a majority of 222 seats to the Democrats, 212 seats. And you need 218 votes to win the speakership. There is a group of Republican House members who thus far are saying that they will not vote for Kevin McCarthy for the speakership. Apparently 9 Republicans in the House that say they have concerns. Maybe 5 say that they have some specific demands to provide for a motion to vacate, that is to create the ability in the House of Representatives to change out speakers of the House more easily. And we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, of course, if they don't elect a speaker, the Republicans, then the clerk in the House of Representatives will stay in place, and that's Nancy Pelosi's clerk, the Democrats' clerk, that would remain in control of this very important position, the clerk of the House of Representatives, who could mess with the Republicans. So it is, maybe there'll be a little old-fashioned politics going on and some horse trading, as they describe it very often in Washington, D.C. Maybe the Republicans that are holdouts will get their motion to vacate, which would create an opportunity later on, not waiting for the next election, to change out the Speaker of the House, whether that would happen or not. As you know, I've noticed that Kevin McCarthy is not the most articulate speaker in the world. And given that the job title is Speaker of the House, I'd like to see someone who's very articulate and makes the Republican case and the conservative case very forcefully and very articulately. Can you say articulately, Michael, or is that racist talking about Kevin McCarthy? But he's not the most articulate person in the world, and he doesn't make the case as forcefully as I would like to see a Republican Speaker of the House. But it's progress in the correct direction, not the kind of progress that the left claims they're fighting for, like transgender cookies for the kindergarten and all that good stuff. So it could get interesting, possibly, and we'll see. The Democrats and the news media, very excited. They're all on Twitter, hoping that there will be a great deal of chaos and they can fan the flames and inflate the reality into a big old deal. But we'll see what happens. Now, Bob Good is one of them who is standing. Matt Gaetz from Florida is another Republican who is they're hesitant, let's say at this point, reticent to vote for Kevin McCarthy for the speaker's job at this point. But by tomorrow, who knows? Washington's a funny place. Sometimes discussions are had, you know. Things happen. But the Republicans will take over control of the House of Representatives tomorrow one way or the other. Whether they elect a speaker right away on the first ballot remains to be seen. They have the votes to do it. Kevin McCarthy can afford to lose 4 votes and still be elected speaker. 218 needed to win. Republicans will have the speakership. Republicans will have 222 seats in the House of Representatives. So we'll see what happens. And honestly, if Republican House members want to extract promises, vows from Kevin McCarthy or the Republican leadership before voting for McCarthy, then fine. I suspect that Kevin McCarthy will be the next Speaker of the House. And honestly, it would probably be better if it happened tomorrow rather than drawing it out and turning it into a dog and pony show. But if some of these Republicans may have very legitimate concerns that they want responded to, and perhaps they'll even make things better. Who can say? Wouldn't want to leap to any conclusions here. But Nancy Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi will be leaving after a new speaker is voted in. She will remain speaker until a new speaker is voted in. And Nancy Pelosi leaves after, here's something that your so-called news media is simply not going to talk about. As Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi has presided over the national debt. While she's Speaker, they've added 40% of the national debt has been added while Nancy Pelosi has been Speaker of the House. 40% of the national debt has been added to our tab under Nancy Pelosi. And if you're a Republican, this might be a black mark on your record. People might not say good things about you for that. But when you're a Democrat, you're Nancy Pelosi, nobody even mentions it. It's not, you can look at conservative media, the Heritage Foundation and National Review and Fox News and a few others will talk about Nancy Pelosi's crime against humanity presiding over an increase 40% of the national debt, which we're passing along to the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids, or we're just breaking the bank at Monte Carlo, which is their actual goal because they're the left. And Nancy Pelosi, 40% of the national debt. What are we at now, Michael? $32 trillion. $32 trillion. And Nancy Pelosi presiding over 40% of that. No problem for her. Just fine. Joe Biden, of course, has been there since, I think, before we had a national debt in the Senate and the vice president's office and the presidency. But, he's a horrible, terrible person, and we know that. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. And we were talking in the last hour about the Thomas Jefferson High School in Virginia, where the National Merit Scholarships and so on that children had earned were then buried and concealed from the children by the lefties there, because they hate children and they hate the truth and they're lefties and they're awful. Why would you do that? What a horrible, terrible thing to do, honestly. But that's what they did at Thomas Jefferson High School. They kept the kids from, they didn't even acknowledge these National Merit Scholarships that had been earned by the students at Thomas Jefferson Science and Technology High School. So they can't put them on their high school resumes and their college applications and all of this good stuff. And the Fairfax County Public Schools then lied about it and said, it was a one-time human error, which is false, of course. And in fact, the wonderful lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia weighed in on this, Winsome Sears, who is just great. And she tweeted about it a couple of days ago, day before yesterday, December 30th, said of the what they had done, what they had perpetrated in the Fairfax County Public Schools and Thomas Jefferson Science and Technology against the children. Winsome Sears, Lieutenant Governor, tweeted, "This is reprehensible. I've reached out to the governor and attorney general and asked for an investigation. Our children's education is not a zero-sum game. We cannot punish success in order to have, quote, equal outcomes at all costs," end quote, which is, of course, the Democrat Party's goal, to have a, you know, not a meritocracy, but a race-based grading system, which is as reprehensible as anything I can think of. And it also does remind me again of the Democrat Party, the pro-slavery party, in 1856, forcing a two-month battle over the speakership and 133 votes because they wanted a pro-slavery speaker of the House, and the Republicans were fighting against that. The media won't mention that if the Republicans take more than one vote tomorrow. That won't be a part of the discussion in our so-called mainstream news media. Now, we're at 888-630-9625. And, Michael, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Bonnie calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Bonnie, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Well, let me just say this. That school is not really hurting the kids that got the awards or that would have gotten the awards because they're ambitious and driven and will probably be successful regardless. Who they're really hurting are the kids that they kept the awards, the message of the awards from. Those are the kids that need to be shown that hard work and achievement can bring you success. They're hurting them even more. I just don't understand. These are supposed to be educators?
Right. Yeah, I just can't imagine
that.
They're
really hurting the kids that they're trying to protect.
You're correct, of course. They're damaging the... They're taking awards away from children that earned them. And that's reprehensible, right, Bonnie?
Right. But they're hurting the kids that didn't get the awards, too.
You're 100% right, because, you know, if nobody wins, nobody aspires. It's fundamentally un-American, right?
Yes.
It's fundamentally anti-Western. It's essentially Maoism. It's this crazy form of equity communism where nobody loses because nobody wins, right?
I don't understand the education system because I'm 76 and I can figure out who you're hurting. I don't know who they think they're helping.
Yeah, well, they're leftists, Bonnie. They call themselves liberals, no doubt, but in reality they're leftists. And being anti-meritocracy is fundamentally anti-American. It's fundamentally un-American. It's fundamentally un-Western and anti-Western. And it's disgraceful. And it's the opposite of education. And these people really should be fired. Many parents are calling for the people responsible for this to be fired. And then again, Bonnie, when they were caught, they lied and said it was a one-time human error, which it, of course, was not. It was a conscious policy decision that was implemented and sustained over time to the detriment of, as you point out, not just the students that were denied the awards and the honors, but also to the detriment of the students that don't see the other students being rewarded and awarded honors for performing well, for doing well. It's disgraceful.
If nothing else, I believe COVID has caused the parents alarm to watch these school boards. And if we've gained nothing from COVID except for that, it probably is the greatest gain we could have gotten.
Well, I hope that that's true. And in fact, there is a lot of evidence that that is true, Bonnie. It was a lot of normal people. Remember normal, Bonnie? Remember normal? We have Remember Normal t-shirts and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant Store because it's important that we all try to remember normal as we navigate our way through these complex and difficult times. But it is an appalling thing. And, you know, People are running for a school board that have never run for a school board before. Corrupt school board members are being ousted that have never been ousted before. People watching the online classes with their lunatic teachers talking about how we shouldn't be critical of people just because they want to have sex with a five-year-old. And the transgender stuff, you know, a lot has been revealed, that's for sure. And our schools have not fared very well throughout this. I also, Bonnie, have another story for you. Stanford University put out a study over the weekend on the damage that the COVID lockdowns have caused, and that's coming up. Thank you, Bonnie, and Happy New Year to you.
From headlines to hilarity, it's the Vince Colanné Show, weekdays 3 to 6, right here on WMAL.
We're going to call them MAPS, Minor Attractive Persons.
No.
So don't judge people just because they want to have sex with a five-year-old.
That's right. This is what their kids are being taught in school. As a Texas teacher, don't judge people just because they want to have sex with a five-year-old. You know, this is your public school system, your tax dollars at work. The Stanford University has an economist, an expert on education, whose name is Eric Hanischek. And Eric Hanischek put together a study. He said that the COVID-era school closures will cost the U.S. economy as much as $28 trillion, $28 trillion, because of the economic slowdown and the reductions in earnings that students will realize throughout the course of their lifetime. The study works with data from Harvard and Dartmouth, so it's got to be true, right? The analyzes the hideous nationwide decline in eighth grade math scores on the 2022 National Assessment Education and Progress. It's the nation's report card, as they call it. And the drop in math scores amounts to 8 points, the largest ever recorded, erasing all gains in education since the year 2000. That's more than two decades for Democrats following along, a generation, basically. And it means, according to this study, that people in school now will make less money throughout their lifetimes, and our economy will take a beating because of these shutdowns, you know. Fauci, thanks, Fauci. Got the Fauci shutdowns. Let's go to the phones, Michael. Let's go to James calling from Joplin, Missouri. James, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thank you for taking my call, sir.
You bet, James. Welcome.
Well, my son is a National Merit Scholar. He's in the top 1%, and we were shocked when we found out he did so well on the test. And he got a full ride scholarship to the University of Missouri. But what I was calling about is my wife is a teacher. And when she found out that he qualified as National Merit, she said, "You watch, James, pretty soon these colleges are going to start downplaying the value of this National Merit. And these scholarships are going to start to go away." And I was like, "Oh, come on, it's not going to happen." And sure enough, we're seeing more and more universities and more schools start to downplay that incredible merit accomplishment.
Yeah.
And it was just shocking to hear the story and hear what happened in Fairfax, you know.
Yeah. Is your son by chance an Anglo-European Caucasian?
He actually is but he's also Native American. We're originally from Oklahoma, so not only is he a minority, but we wouldn't have been able to afford to send him to the colleges we can if he hadn't gotten that scholarship. So,
well, good for you. Congratulations to your son and your family.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Yeah, so the Wuhan, you know, Joe Biden imposed some racist travel restrictions on China. I want to get to this in a couple of minutes. You remember when he called President Trump xenophobic and racist and terrible for restricting travel out of communist China after the Wuhan Red Death broke out of Wuhan, China, where they have the Wuhan Institute of Virology, coincidentally, where they just happen to be working on bat-borne coronaviruses and gain-of-function research. If you can't put those pieces together, you probably shouldn't have a driver's license or be allowed to vote. But Joe Biden called President Trump a xenophobe, and this hysterical xenophobia is a terrible person. Well, just the other day, Biden to regulate travel from China. Huh. Interesting. And nobody in the media has called him xenophobic or racist or anti-Chinese. This is going to obviously lead to more Democrats bashing Chinese people over the head in Oakland and in New York City. Democrats all, by the way, they kept looking for a red MAGA hat wearing perpetrator in those attacks on Asian people, Asian Americans and immigrants. And they never found one. You know what that means, don't you? It's the process of elimination. That means, Democrats bashing Asians over the head. Not news. Not news. That's how that works. And we got that. Pretty amazing times we're in. If only we had a media, what would they do? And it's because of the Wuhan. There's more Wuhan. Didn't Joe Biden tell Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes a few months ago that the pandemic was over, and now he's regulating travel out of China, the same thing that he called Trump a hysterical xenophobe for, and he's doing the same thing because of the Wuhan, because of the Wu, and it's okay. You know, there's one set of rules for Democrats, another set of rules for anyone who's not a faithful Democrat. Speaking of, you see Elon Musk is in the crosshairs. He's getting the Donald Trump treatment from the so-called establishment. The forces of the universe have lined up to destroy Elon Musk because he dared to take one of their toys away from them, Twitter, because it's all about information dominance. The Chinese communists are attempting to achieve information dominance worldwide right now. The left has already secured information dominance in the United States, and they're very, very upset, real tizzy over someone. He was always a Democrat in good standing, wasn't he, until he did this. Then he's getting a little taste of their venom. But yeah, they've unleashed the dogs on Elon Musk. I saw an article, what was the Huffington Post yesterday? Elon Musk could be the first person in world history to lose $200 billion. Because the left, they destroy everything that they don't co-opt. It's a form of fascism for the 21st century. Pretty amazing stuff, I gotta say. But I do digress. Also on the Wuhan and Joe Biden imposing these racist travel restrictions on Chinese people because of the Wuhan Red Death. Have you been to the Chris Plant store recently? We've got great Wuhan Red Death T-shirts and coffee mugs. I survived the Wuhan Red Death. It's a great logo and wonderful stuff at the Chris Plant store. Coffee mugs. I know Christmas is over now, but yeah, there's always good reason to buy fun stuff. And also it should be noted that there was an ABC News producer. A lot of talk about the died suddenly. There's this video documentary of sorts out there on YouTube and beyond called Died Suddenly. That's what it's called, right? And about all kinds of people that have never died before who are suddenly dying unexpectedly at younger and younger ages. And the suggestion, the implication, not that anybody's looking into it at the NIH or epidemiologists at Stanford or anything are looking into it, but it would seem, maybe you were just paying more attention, but maybe not, that a great many people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are dying suddenly and unexpectedly of heart attacks and heart issues and things. And the implication is that the vaccines may be playing a role in this. What appears to be an increase in sudden deaths, people dying at younger and younger ages, but soccer players and soccer referees and people in the prime of their lives, athletes suddenly dying of heart attacks and stuff. And is it the vaccine? Is it the vaccine causing problems? I can assure you nobody's looking into it, even as we speak. From the National Institutes of Health to the New York Times, they're busy not looking into it. Wouldn't serve the interests of the party if they came up with the wrong answer. But an ABC News producer by the name of Dax Tejera, ABC News producer, 37 years old, died of a heart attack. It says here in the New York Post, a sudden heart attack, as opposed to the slow motion one. But the price tag for COVID school closures and this Dax headline's got melded together there. 37 years old, father, husband, heart attack, no sign of health issues leading up to his sudden heart attack and death. Dax Tejera, 37 years old. Maybe ABC News will look into it now. Maybe they can put this on their list of things to look into rather than their list of things not to look into. Just saying. 37 years old. And I showed, well, I was trading texts about this over the weekend, actually. And should be pointed out, my father died of a heart attack when he was 38 years old. And that was when I was 5 months old some time ago. So it's been known to happen. But the, you know, the question is whether there is an increase in the number or the incidence or the percentages of people dying at an early age and whether there is any link to the vaccines. It's something that we should be looking into as a people, as a country, as a species, but for political reasons, the same political reasons as always, we're not looking into this. So we got that. All right, let's go back to the phone. Then I do want to get to Joe Biden and his racist, xenophobic, anti-Chinese. That's going to lead to more Democrats committing more violent acts against Asians in the United States of America. Let's go to the let's go back to the phones, because the schools, and I just told you about the study out of Stanford using Harvard and Dartmouth data on the economic blow that the United States will suffer over time as a result of the school lockdowns, and that's just scratching the surface. But boy, there's a lot of crazy out there. And of course, the Thomas Jefferson Science and Technology High School in Virginia, where they refused to tell the kids that they had won these national merit awards because they're racists. You know, that's really the thing about this withholding of the awards, because you don't want kids getting ahead just because they work hard and do well, especially if so many of them are from one ethnic or racial group, like Asians or something like that. Might look bad, might encourage people to work hard and do well. And then Thomas Jefferson High School lied about it. Ah, just a one-off human error. Not true. You're fired. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Leslie calling from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Leslie, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Leslie.
I was wondering if they didn't tell any of the merit winners or if they just picked out some particular group or seniors to withhold the information from. Do you know anything about that?
My belief is that they did not award any of these National Merit Scholarships to anyone. And my understanding is that the reason that they decided to withhold all of these awards is because they thought it would look bad based on the racial composition of the students that earned the awards, and that there weren't enough African-American students, there were too many Asian students, and that might contribute to negative stereotypes and not look like equity was being dished out in the Fairfax County Public Schools. So they said, we just won't tell anyone.
Yeah, it's pathetic. It really is. I never got a merit award, but I tried real hard, and it was a disappointment that I didn't. And for these kids not to be told that their efforts have paid off is really a tragedy.
And to give, as Bonnie said a little earlier, from South Carolina, to give the other kids something to aspire to. Oh, it's
exactly.
That's the other part of this, is that there are the kids who win and the kids who don't win see that if you work harder and do well, that you can be rewarded for it. And it, you know, not that most teenagers are thinking very much about their future, but some are. And it should inspire the kids that don't win to that don't earn these National Merit Awards to work harder and do better and work toward a better life, which is the whole point of going to school, isn't it, Leslie?
One would think. It sounds so discriminatory not to let everyone have an award.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fact.
I was going to say curtain.
Yeah, and then when they did finally, after this crime against the students was revealed, and they lied about it and said it was a one-time error, it was nothing of the kind, The awards were not distributed by the homeroom teachers as they normally would be until November 14th, which was after the early application deadline had passed for colleges. So the students, the seniors, had already applied to their preferred colleges, but they didn't have this on their applications because these lefty teachers didn't want to reward students for their hard work. And then, according to National Review, says the teachers dropped the certificates unceremoniously on students' desks.
Wow. I wonder if they can do an amended application to these schools.
Well, I wonder if they can try to play catch-up and make up for the deficit that was doled out to them by the Fairfax County Public Schools and the lefties who are not working on behalf of the children, but rather on behalf of a political agenda that is detrimental to the children, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Sorry?
Chris, I say you fight it where you can.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and honestly, it's winning school board seats, and it's looking at what your kids and all of the kids are being taught in school and the textbooks that are being used. And, you know, I mean, there are so many fronts, Leslie, that the left has ongoing at the same time, just in the schools, just with the kids and the, you know, drag queen story hour for kindergarten and the don't be critical of someone just because they want to have sex with a five-year-old, and we don't call them child molesters, we call them MAPS, minor attracted persons. You know, this is what our kids are getting in schools all across America, and it's truly horrible that this has been going on, and it's good news that this is being revealed and exposed. And I would expect that parents across America, you know, one of the big problems, Leslie, though, is that it's not on the front page of The Washington Post. It's not even in The Washington Post. When it does appear, when they're shamed into doing a story on the Fairfax County Public Schools, they defend them and they carry the lie that it was a one-time clerical error when it was nothing of the kind. Our media, honestly, Leslie, I think is the biggest problem, the most corrupt institution in the United States of America, is, I believe, the American news media. Yeah. Truly extraordinary stuff. So work hard and, you know, the old American thing. Work hard, keep your nose clean, don't get in trouble, and you can succeed and be successful in America. But you got these people holding you back deliberately and knowingly for all the wrong reasons. Not that there could be right reasons, but amazing stuff. Thank you, Leslie. Speaking of the Biden family, this story is amazing, and Fox News has it, but the Washington Post doesn't. Hunter Biden's ex-stripper lover requests to change their child's last name to Biden. You know, Hunter Biden impregnated an exotic dancer, a woman who takes her clothes off on a stage at an establishment that they call a gentleman's club. I believe it was on H Street blocks from the White House. Hunter Biden would frequent this establishment, and he became acquainted with a nice lady there. Somehow, I think the usual way, impregnated this nice young lady. And then Hunter Biden denied that he had ever had conjugal relations with the nice lady. A DNA test proved that he was, in fact, the father of the child. The nice lady went ahead and had the child. She now has a four-year-old daughter and is asking to change the child's last name to Biden because, you know, look how it's benefited Hunter Biden having the last name. So the mother of Hunter Biden's four-year-old daughter requested in court that she be allowed to change the last name of her child to Biden so she can, quote, benefit from carrying the Biden family name, end quote. Honestly, it's working pretty well for Hunter. He's the world's greatest artist, and all he does is spit paint through a straw onto pieces of paper, and then people pay him $500,000 for his little finger paintings. Pretty amazing stuff. So Navy Joan, I think, is the girl's name, right? And I'm with the mom on this once again. Might not come as a big surprise. But there is a benefit to carrying the family name. The little girl's 4 years old. Her grandfather is the president of the United States, living in the White House. And there's no stocking hanging from the mantelpiece in the White House with her name on it. What awful, terrible people. Because they don't acknowledge her existence, even though the DNA test proved that it is the president's granddaughter.
Yeah, well, that comes easy to me. I'm Picasso.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Well, we're going to get to Joe Biden's racist travel ban as well. If it was racist then, why isn't it racist now? Joe Biden said the pandemic is over to Scott Pelley. And now, remember President Trump's travel ban that wasn't a travel ban? And it was xenophobic and all that? All right, let's go back to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Al calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. Al, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Al.
I hope you can hear me well.
Yes, sir, I can.
Just a quick little bit of background. I've been given anesthesia for 30 years. I'm a nurse anesthesiologist. I'm not a scientist, but I know how to read science. It's part of our training. Uh-huh. I read a study last night that came out of the Cleveland Clinic. The only reason why I was able to have it because this great American spent $44 billion on a toy. And if anybody thinks that Elon Musk isn't a great American, they're not much of an American. So I got this study out of the Cleveland Clinic. The only reason why I got it is because of Twitter. It has 50,000 subjects in the study. Uh-huh. It's a very well-done study. I've looked at studies with 50, 25, 100 subjects in it. This has a 50,000.
Right.
There's a direct correlation between the number of shots that you get and whether you're likely to get the woo. The more shots, the more woo. It's a very well-done study. It was all because in their hospital system, they had all the data. They're using doctors, nurses, all their employees. It's a very, very well done study. I hope you'll talk about this subject more.
I'm gonna go look for it, Al. Scout Center, I'm going to go look for it. And the Cleveland Clinic, the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, probably the top clinics in the United States of America doing this kind of work. And now, did they make it public and the media just ignored it? Or, I got to tell you, Al, the Republicans on Capitol Hill need to grab onto this stuff too and maybe hold a press conference.
The data started trickling out last March after a group of 200 doctors and scientists had to go to court to sue Pfizer. It was a court case out of Texas, and the Justice Department was arguing for Pfizer and said, "We don't have the resources to give you the data."
Arguing for, isn't that great? The Justice Department, Al, arguing on behalf of Pfizer, the pharmaceutical company. I remember just a few years ago, Democrats were waging war against pharmaceutical companies. Now they love them.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington, a Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers' world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.